listening to the Throwback Podcast, your one stop for exclusive interviews and talk of everything 90s with a little 80s and 2000s mixed in with your host, Ryan the Podman Rafiq. The following is a throwback exclusive.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another special edition of the Throwback Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan the Podman, and the noise you hear behind me is my co-host, Jimmy the Radio Man. Jimmy, what are you doing?
I'm playing with the Pink Ranger, Daddy. Pink Ranger.
Playing with the Pink Ranger doll, folks. You know what? Jimmy's pretty excited today because our special guest is Catherine Sutherland.
Wait, isn't that chick on VR Troopers?
No, Jimmy. She was the second original Power Ranger after Amy Jo Johnson left the show.
Oh, I love that shit.
She played Cat.
Cat
Hiller. Yeah. I think you're a little bit confused. You just wake up or something?
I'm a little excited, you know.
I think Jimmy just had a few energy drinks, folks. Don't mind him.
Well, I was excited about Amy Jo Johnson, but okay,
Catherine Hiller, she's pretty cool too. She's done a lot of stuff.
She's all right.
She's pretty cool. Yeah, she's pretty cool. She's done a lot of movies. She's done some stuff. A lot of great stuff. But she's our guest today.
Oh, that's wonderful, man. I can't wait to see her.
Yeah, she's the chick from the movie.
Oh, wasn't she that Power Ranger Turbo? Was that her?
She was the Power Ranger Turbo.
Yeah. All right.
Now
all
you
right.
Remember now?
Okay, I'll get that, Daddy. All right.
Pretty badass chick, yeah.
Well, Australia, right?
Yeah.
Oh, she's cool.
Yeah, she's cool.
I can't wait to see this, Daddy. Woo!
Yeah, see, Jimmy, Jimmy's been a little, he took a little bit of a nap.
Go, Power Rangers!
Actually, I think Jimmy's been drinking a lot of energy drinks.
Power Rangers!
Okay, Jimmy.
See you!
Okay, Jimmy.
Go, Turbo!
Okay. Jimmy, let's call it.
Good thing, Gabby.
Jimmy's been drinking a lot of Red Bull before the show.
Red Bull loves me, Daddy.
Yeah, well, you should be a sponsor for Red Bull.
All right.
Okay, he's even wearing a Red Bull shirt. I don't know why he's wearing a Red Bull shirt.
I love that shirt, Daddy.
Okay, yeah. But okay, just play with your Pink Ranger action figure. Anyways, folks, we have a great show lineup for you today. We have Catherine Sutherland, who played the Pink Ranger on the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, is our guest today. We have a really great interview with her. She talked about her time on the show and her experiences as the Pink Ranger. It's a really good interview, and I think you the listeners, are really going to enjoy it. I really enjoyed this interview. But like you folks always know, if you like what you hear, you can go through our previous episodes and our catalog of episodes on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you hear your favorite podcasts, you know, TuneIn Radio, we're pretty much everywhere. So if you like what you hear, check out our backlog of episodes and we have other episodes that you will definitely enjoy. So enjoy the episode, and we'll be back when it's done. Anything else to say, Jimmy?
Nah, I'm just excited about this podcast, Daddy. You know we always
do. What the hell is that in your mouth, Jimmy?
Snickers.
Why didn't you give me one?
Oh,
yeah. The fuck? You already bit it.
No, this is a new chocolate bar, Daddy. I got one for you.
That's not a chocolate bar. Okay. Enjoy the show, folks. Joining me at this time is actress and former Pink Ranger, Catherine Sutherland. Catherine, how are you doing today?
Hey, Ryan.
Good, thanks for asking. Just wanted to ask you, you were part of the Power Rangers for a good bit. You were like a part of like three different eras, like the original Power Rangers, Power Rangers Turbo, and the Power Rangers Zeo. So how you been? How you been doing?
Yeah, it's hard to believe. 26 years later, we're still talking about Power Rangers, right?
It's just as popular as ever, man. So, wow. So, I was gonna ask you, when you were a kid growing up, like, were you into like shows like the Power Rangers or any type of superhero stuff? Like, when you were a kid?
He-Man. I loved He-Man and She-Ra.
She-Ra. I really love
She-Ra. He-Man was the stuff, yeah.
Wonder Woman. So yeah, I there wasn't a lot of female superheroes when I was growing up. So I tended to draw to those, like where they were, wherever I could find them. So I loved both of those, particularly She-Ra and Wonder Woman.
Those are some awesome ones. So how did you get into acting? Like when you were young, like how did you get into that type of stuff? Was it something you were interested in when you were younger, or?
My parents said I was always performing from when I came out of the womb. I was like always dancing and singing and putting on little plays, and my brother played the guitar, so we put on concerts for my family, and so I was always very creative that way. And then when I was in probably about 10, I had a teacher, his name was Mr. Hanna, and he was very into musicals, and he would put them on at my elementary school. So I started getting involved in musicals and dance troupes and things like that. And then when I was about 13, I decided I wanted to go to this performing arts school and had to convince my parents that it was the right place to send me. And I went there as a dancer initially, but discovered a real love for acting and singing. So I was doing a lot of performing at that school. Some of it was professional, some of it was amateur. And so then when I left high school, you know, it was all under one roof for me. So when I left high school, I had to figure out, well, how do I continue this? So I went on to acting school, and then I started modeling to you know, pay my bills. So after I left high school, I went to acting school, and I was modeling to help pay the bills and all of that. And my modeling agency also had an acting division. They were called Cameron's in Sydney, and their acting division was very good. And so I said, you know, I act and sing and dance. And they're like, oh, you do? And I'm like, yeah, I do. And so they said, well, we can send you out for some stuff. So they started sending me out. And, you know, I started booking commercials, and I was doing plays and pantomimes and all kinds of stuff. And then, hey, Power Rangers came across the table, and the rest is history.
How were you approached to be part of the Power Rangers? Like, how did it come across your table, so to speak?
We had filmed the first movie, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie, in Sydney. And the producer just loved it. They fell in love with it. Shuki Levy, who was one of the creators of the show. And so when Amy Jo wanted to leave, they were auditioning in America and Canada, and they just weren't finding what they wanted, because she was such a loved character, and I think they wanted something different. To, you know, so it wasn't like, oh, we're just putting someone else that looks like her. We want someone that's got really different energy. So they thought, well, why don't we bring like an international flavor to the show? So they came to Australia and they started auditioning, and I just went up. I hadn't heard of Power Rangers. I didn't know what it was. All it said on the audition was, you know, a girl that looks like a teenager. Her name is Catherine. She's, a superhero. You know, superhero feel, must be able to do martial arts, gymnastics, or dancing. And it filmed in Hollywood. And I was like, oh my gosh, a series regular in Hollywood, how exciting. So I went in, and it was really funny that the character's name was Catherine. I spelled mine with a C, that one spelled with a K, but I was like, oh, that's interesting. Oh. Second audition, I got a call back. In the second audition, I had to do a martial arts routine and another scene. And then the final callback was with Shuki Levy, and it was more like an interview. So he just kind of wanted to get to know you, see who you are. And when I was leaving the room, you know, at that time in my life, I was very insecure and would never have normally said something like this. But I said, I hope you make the right decision, Mr. Levy. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just said that. But I walked out, and about 3 weeks later, he and the casting director called me and offered me the role. And it was my whole life turned upside down.
So before you got on, were you familiar with Power Rangers or followed it at any time before you got on as Catherine? No, so you were familiar.
I had no idea what it was. In fact, I don't think it was even airing when I auditioned. I don't think it was even on in Australia. And then it took about you know, almost 2 months for me to get my visa and everything in place to come over. And so I remember watching one episode. I was at the gym and Power Rangers came on the TVs and I was like, oh my gosh, that's the show I'm going to be on. And I was watching and I'm like, this is bizarre. I have no idea what this show is about. How bizarre. But they're all, the cast is really cute.
Cast is.
With his little glasses, he was so handsome. And yeah, and so I didn't know I was replacing anybody either. I just thought I was an addition to the cast. So
when you, before you took it, you didn't know how popular the show was before you joined?
No idea. I didn't even realize until I went to the premiere of the movie and saw that they were like rock stars. And I went, oh, wow, like, this is a big deal.
Yeah. They were all over the place. And yeah. Did you feel you felt a lot of pressure when you were becoming a new Pink Ranger, considering how popular Amy Jo Johnson was as Kimberly, and you were like the replacement Pink Ranger? Did you feel like you had big shoes to fill when you came in?
Yes, and like I said, I didn't know the show. I didn't know how popular it was. But when I realized that, I was like, wow, I better really bring it because the fans loved her. And you know, the one thing I will say is that I really loved the arc that they had for my character. I loved that they gave Amy a really good goodbye. They didn't do that for the other Rangers that left. None of them got a nice story arc, which is a shame. Like Karen literally was there one day and then I never got to say goodbye to her. She was just gone and Kia was here. So which is a blessing. I got my best friend, but it was bad. I was really close to Karen. So I think it helped also that Kat and Kimberly were very, very different. I think Kat was, we looked completely different. And she was more bubbly, shopping, you know, cheerleader kind of girl. And Kat was more of a tweeny kind of energy, very gentle, motherly, kind of peaceful, just a different vibe. So I think that helped because, you know, everybody has their favorite character, of course. Everybody resonates with one of us. So, you know, people are always going to be Kimberly fans or Kat fans. It is what it is, you know.
Both, so yeah. I was going to say, what was it like your first time actually appearing on set to do your first episode? How did the rest of the cast act? Like, do y'all get along right away from the start? Like, it was just like a big family when you first came on? Or?
They were very sweet and kind to me, very accepting. I think because I'd come from another country, there was probably a little intrigue there because I was a foreigner. But they were also very sweet and like embraced me knowing that I was alone. I'd left all of my family behind. I knew no one. So Karen swooped me under her wings very quickly. I was very close with the makeup artist. Doug Sloan, who was one of the producers and writers of the show, was really good to me, like really took care of me. There was a fellow Australian on the set called Matt, who was a PA, who was, we became buds right away because he was an Aussie. So I had people that took care of me. I felt like part of it very quickly. And we were together like all the time. So quickly. Yeah. The person that spoke to me was on the set was Steve Cardenas. He was the first one that kind of introduced himself and was really friendly and sweet. So
awesome. Yeah, he was really good. He's really good as the Red Ranger. He was actually a really good replacement for Austin St. John. I was gonna say, you were a part of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, Power Rangers Zeo, Power Rangers Turbo. Is there any particular moment from your whole time on the series that like favorite moment or favorite episode that stands out to you?
My favorite episode, I have a couple of favorite episodes. I'll do from one from each season. From Mighty Morphin, I would say I loved the different shade of pink, the three episode arc of Kat kind of realizing she was under a spell and you know, being going from evil to good and Kimberly transferring the powers. I love that series, that episode. In Zeo, I really loved, there was an episode called Every Dog Has Its Day with Smokey. I really liked that episode. And I loved the one in the snow, the There's No Business Like Snow Business. And then for Turbo, this is probably my favorite episode from a moral perspective. In Turbo, there was an episode called Wait to See, where Kat's doing a ballet performance and this girl is really mean to her and makes her feel insecure about her weight and her looks. And so she doesn't want to eat. And, you know, there's a monster that kind of makes her start floating around all over the place. And I love that it was, you know, through that episode, she learns that it's what's on the inside that matters the most. And I really love that storyline for children, because as a dancer, I struggle with, you know, eating and my weight and my self-esteem a lot as a dancer and a model. And I really understood what that felt like. And so I loved that they put that in there for kids to, you know, kids, it's okay. You don't, you know, what's on the inside will last. That's what the sustenance of your character is, not the outside. So
that's what I love about Power Rangers as a kid. That's what I loved about Power Rangers. It always gave you like a message to kids, like in it for everyday life, to like be true to yourself and like give them an encouragement. Yeah. I was gonna say now. Just give me a sec. You also were part of the Power Rangers Turbo movie. How was it like filming a movie compared to filming like a regular, like, you know, regular episode? Like, how would you compare the two?
The movie, you know, we had a much smaller budget than the first movie did. Yeah. So, like filming the episodes, but on steroids. We didn't even do table reads for the series. So we were excited to even get a table read for the movie. You know, it was just a series on a bigger scale. I really loved that we got to travel a little bit. You know, Jake and I got to go to Tennessee and Northern California, and it was fun getting Blake Foster to be part of this cast and Hillary as Diva Talks. It was fun. I really enjoyed filming the movie. We did a lot of fight training. I really enjoyed that. It was a bit more flushed out, I guess.
How long did it take to film the movie? Do you remember? Like a few months?
Oh, not even that. I think we filmed it in maybe 6 weeks.
It's not bad. Oh.
It didn't take very long. It might have been 2 months. I don't know. It wasn't very long, though. Yeah.
I was going to say.
Hard.
So for when you were the Pink Ranger, for your whole time on the show, you did your own stunts for like the Pink Ranger?
You see the helmets, the rangers in helmets, that's stunt guys. Stunt king. Yep. I had a Japanese male stunt man.
Didn't Jason David Frank, I think he did a lot of his stunts too, didn't he? It was all stunt guys. Wow.
But in the original series, they did a lot more out of helmets. Fighting, and then because kids were hitting each other, they kind of scaled that back, and it didn't do any civilian fights. So, yeah, it was interesting. All the helmet footage was Sentai footage.
That's true, yeah.
And towards the third season of Power Rangers, they started to film second unit on the set, and you know we had a stunt team filming, so. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. For people who aren't familiar with Sentai, that's like the old Power Rangers, like that's from like Japan. I think that was
original series.
Original, yeah. I think that was filmed back like in the 70s, wasn't it? Like 70s or 80s.
Yep.
If people haven't checked that out, they should definitely check out Sentai. I watched some of it. It's really good. Yeah.
And it's darker. It's not really for children like our show was. Like I think in the Sentai, the Green Ranger died.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. A lot of people don't know that. Like I I didn't know about that till like not too long ago myself. But yeah, that it's a very it's a way darker series. But I definitely think it's worth checking out if you're a big fan of like the original. It's definitely worth checking out, I think. Now going back to your time as Pink, out of like Mighty Morphin, Zeo, and Turbo, do you have like a favorite costume you had like out of your whole like you had a different look in each series?
Loved the Ninjetti costumes, but we didn't wear them for very long. They were really comfortable, like silk pajamas. But as far as the look of the suit, I really loved the Zeo suit, but I didn't like the helmet. I loved the Mighty Morphin helmet.
Oh, you didn't like the Zeo helmets?
No, they were boring.
Well, I thought the same thing. You know, honestly, I think around after Zeo, I think it's where I watched the original Mighty Morphin, then I watched Zeo, and then, I felt the same way. There was something missing compared to the Mighty Morphin. I think that was what it was. It was the helmets. Yeah, because the Mighty Morphin, their helmets were just like, they were awesome. Yeah. Man, so what about Faye? Did you have a favorite, like, weapon? Like, what, compare it, like, because didn't they change, like, the weapons for the, Mighty Morphin to Zeo too, I think. Like weapons and Zeo.
Bow, a power bow in Mighty Morphin. And then in Zeo, I believe I had a dagger and a shield. And then Turbo, I think we had turbo blasters.
A weapon.
Bow. Yeah. I'd have a bow. That's pretty awesome.
Cool, yeah. Does any... Does it, like, out of all the whole series, is there a particular monster or bad guy that stands out to you that you guys fought?
Well, I love Rita and Zed. I think they were so funny. I loved Rita Repulsa's nephew, Rito. I thought he was funny. Monsters we fought. You know, the one that sticks out in my mind was the one when Tommy ate that monster. I think the episode was called Rita's Pita.
I remember that, yeah.
It was a funny one. He was kind of a weird character. It was gross, but it was funny. He was really into that, like, eating as disgusting as he could. Yeah. Gross us out in that episode.
That's crazy. Yeah, I remember that one. That was funny. So how did your time on Power Rangers come to an end? Did you just want to leave the show, or was it? Well, how did that come about?
You know, we all thought we were going to finish Turbo and then probably would be moving on after that. And we actually found out, this is horrible, but we found out because Johnny saw it in the newspaper. They were advertising for new Power Rangers.
Wow.
That's how we found out.
I tell you, you just found out in the paper.
We confronted them and they said, oh no, you know, they kind of denied it. And then I remember one day on set, they asked me to read with Nakia's replacement. Like, they wanted me to do a screen test. And I said, I'm not doing that. And, we had a bit of an argument about it. it was a very abrupt exit. And they didn't really give the fans a chance to, like, it was like we were there one day and gone the next. Kind of like they did with Jason, Zach, and Trini.
Yeah.
It was kind of a shame that they didn't give the fans a chance to even get to know the new characters. They were just kind of thrown in. That's how it went down, sadly.
That's kind of how I fell out with Power Rangers, because they kept changing the cast regularly after that. Like, every year there was, like, almost a new cast. It's like you get used to a Power Ranger and then they're suddenly gone and there's like a new look all the time now. It just killed it for me.
Touched.
Yeah, that's true. Do you still keep in touch with a lot of the cast these days? Like,
yeah, we're all very close. I see Nakia and I have a YouTube channel. I don't know if you know about that, but we have a YouTube channel called Power Rangers Playback. And we also have a podcast called Super Chat with Kat Nakia. So we see each other and talk. We talk almost every day. And we see each other a lot because we're running a business together. I speak to parent. I haven't seen her through COVID or anything. I'm so excited I get to see her at Ranger Stop and Pop convention at the end of this month. So that'll be awesome. But we text regularly. Erin, Nakia, Karen and I call ourselves the Beyoncés and we text constantly. Jason Font, very close to him from Time Force. Steve and I text all the time. He's in London now though, so I don't get to see him, but we text. Jason Frank and Johnny. I was just with Johnny this last weekend. We were at a con in Texas together. So it's like when we see each other, it's like a big family. It's awesome.
Still keep in touch with a lot of the guys. That's pretty cool. So let's see. So how has the being part of the Power Rangers franchise impacted your everyday life since you've been a part of it? Like, what's changed? Like,
it changed my life completely because I moved from Australia to America. You know, that was like a big. It's really a blessing. I'm very grateful that I was up to be a part of it because our fandom is exceptional. They're just so loyal and just the stories I've heard like year after year, you know, just of what it did for them, you know, they were bullied and it gave them a, you know, something to cling to and some hope, or, you know, they saw themselves in one of these characters and it made them feel like they could go on. I mean, story after story of just such amazing encouragement that the show gave to people. And it's a real gift. Like every time I go to a convention, I'm always just walk away feeling like, wow, how grateful I am just to be able to touch people's lives in such a positive way. So it's really impacted my life in many ways, but still does, because I get to go to conventions, I get to connect with fans on social media. You know, when I was on the show, we didn't have social media, so it was all through fan letters and everything. It's
totally different.
Yeah, so it's changed my life in many ways. And there was a big period of my life where Power Rangers was not in my life. I was all about, you know, my children and my husband and getting married and everything. In 2009, I got this call that someone invited me to a convention. I'm like, what's the convention? And I'm like, what do you want me to come for? I'm confused. Oh, Power Rangers. I said, that show's still on? Oh, wow, okay. And it was crazy. We had lines and lines of people that wanted to meet us. And I was going, this is nuts. All these years later. And now I'm here 26 years later and we're still doing it. It's crazy.
Oh, it's still popular to this day. It's, yeah.
Definitely a cultural phenomenon. It's been a pop culture phenomenon for sure.
How does it? Like you mentioned the Comic-Con and I think Morphicon too. How does it feel being able to do? I know not as much as it was during COVID or everything, but like I think it's coming back now. But how does it feel meeting like the fans, like after all these years, knowing that they still love the Power Rangers and being a part of going to these conventions? Yeah.
Morphicon's on another level. Like that's a crazy, like, I mean, it's like every single Power Ranger and person that worked on the show from the beginning till now. And it's like, it's crazy. If you've never been, you should go because it's crazy. It's amazing. That's my favorite convention ever. And it's really amazing. We have people from all over the world, like Germany, Australia, China, Argentina, like all over the world coming to this convention in California. And we've had peak fans get married, like they met at the convention, they've gotten married, they've, you know, had kids and bring them back to meet us, you know, parents that have now introduced their kids to the show. So now you see a generational, you know, like a grandma, mom and the kid are all watching it together. It's very like unifying for their family. So it's really cool. And I never get old. I love our fans. I love talking to them. I love hearing their stories. I love giving them hugs. COVID's been so hard because we haven't been able to connect that way. But it's the best. I love it. I come away and my heart is just full. Bucket is overflowing.
Is any comic Morphicons being planned right now?
MorphaCon is going to be in August 2022. It was supposed to be 2020 and obviously got canceled.
Yeah, we'll look out for that. So, do you have any other projects or anything coming up or anything planned?
Full of things in the works that I can't mention, but some exciting things in the works. And I am working on finding an artist for my second children's book that I've written. So I'm just, lots of things happening, but nothing I can talk about as of yet. But Power Rangers Playback, every Wednesday we have new episodes. And it's a really fun, great way to, it's great nostalgia, great way to like be part of the Power Ranger community. And we have game show, we have skit, we have members. So there's that. And then our podcast on this season, that's really cool. So,
in closing, you have anything you want to say to your fans before we wrap up the interview?
You guys are amazing. So appreciate you. And may the power protect you.
Yeah, right. Man, it was a pleasure having you on, Catherine. Thank you. So, if you guys wanted to, like I said, check out our podcast, check out, what's your website, in case people want to check out your website?
Sutherland.biz. And I'm also on Instagram, Catherine_Sutherland. Facebook, Catherine Sutherland Official. I do not have a Twitter account, so if you see an account with Catherine Sutherland, it's not me. We have a Power Rangers Playback Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Awesome. Yeah, guys, check it out. Catherine, it's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Ryan. You have a beautiful day.
Jimmy, what are you doing?
I was running through the closet.
What's up with that outfit? What are you, a Power Ranger?
Oh, yeah, Daddy. I'm a brown Power Ranger, Daddy.
The Brown Ranger?
Oh, yeah, Daddy.
Jimmy.
Daddy.
I hate to break this to you. You know there was no Brown Ranger, right?
I don't know there could have been a Brown Ranger.
Okay, but there was no Brown Ranger, right?
They could have made one, Daddy.
So, you know, it doesn't work. You're the Brown Ranger. Why are you the Brown Ranger? Wait. No, let me finish. Okay. The Brown Ranger. Why the Brown Ranger? Why are you dressed in the color brown? Of all the Rangers, okay, there was no Brown Ranger. Why are you the Brown Ranger?
Because the Brown Ranger is the fucking shit, Daddy.
If you've listened to the show for any extended period of time by now, you know how Jimmy is. Okay, Jimmy, you give me a headache now. Just go now. I'm sorry, folks. You know how Jimmy is. If you listen to the show we've been on the air for a while now, so you know how Jimmy is. Longtime listeners, I apologize for. Brown, really? Brown Ranger?
Daddy, that's the color.
Okay. Anyway, folks, thank you for listening to the Throwback Podcast.
Hey, Wendy, you want a date? Hey, Wendy, look at my outfit, Daddy.
Don't mind Jimmy, folks.
Hey, where you going, Daddy?
Thanks again for listening to the Throwback Podcast. Once again, if you like what you hear, be sure to check us out on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, wherever you listen to your favorite Apple Podcasts. But until next time, Jimmy, put that down.
Wendy ran away from me, Daddy. Goodbye. Wendy's gone.
Goodbye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. Want to hear more? Find us on the web on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. Still not enough? Check us out on social media at Throw Podcast on Twitter and Throwback _podcast on Instagram. This concludes our broadcast day.